But for Giannis Antetokounmpo, 13 here in the fourth, as part of his 36-point showing here tonight. By the way, Bucks fans, the 2023-24 Nike NBA City Edition collection is here. You saw those unis the other night in the first opening night of the on a tournament night on Friday night. That uniform is for you. The jersey speckle pattern developed from drone shots of Bucks fans gathered at Deer District throughout the 21 NBA Finals. So you can relive that energy and learn more about that uniform at bucks.com/city. City Edition collection, including jerseys, as always, available at Bucks Pro Shop and online at shop.bucks.com. Clutch time here late. The Bucks have been good here early this season. Can they make it 3-for-3 in these spots? We'll find out shortly. Three of their first six games this year have come down to these critical plays late. The lineup for the Bucks goes Crowder, Giannis, Connaughton, Lillard, and Middleton for Milwaukee here. It's Thomas, Bridges, Finney-Smith, Simmons, and O'Neal for the Nets. Simmons to inbound. He will pass it to the corner. Three-pointer on the way. That misses. The rebound to O'Neal. His tip-in misses. Still tipped around. And that's the way this thing comes to an end. Milwaukee fights and claws its way to a 129-125 win. High-scoring affair here tonight from Barclays Center. And Milwaukee has now won 12 of the last 14 regular season games in this building and improved their record to 4-2 with a victory here tonight. Brooklyn will fall to 3-4. This is a Brooklyn team that has fought hard but has not been able to beat either the Boston Celtics or tonight now the Milwaukee Bucks, who finish off the Nets here tonight thanks in no small part to Giannis Antetokounmpo and another huge showing from the Greek Freak. All right, I think we are going to catch up with Chris Middleton here in a couple moments' time as his team comes away with a victory. Chris tonight, by the way, played 21 minutes for a second consecutive game and actually contributed quite a bit down the stretch. He made a couple clutch free throws and some big shots in the fourth quarter himself as Milwaukee finds a way to get this one to the finish line again, setting up that home game coming up on that will be Wednesday night when the Detroit Pistons come to town. So the Bucks just trying to find their way here slowly but surely through this season. And for Middleton, it should be noted, mentioned that Giannis had 13 in the fourth quarter. Chris had 7 of his 15 in that fourth quarter as he is coming through with a couple clutch plays of his own here down the final stretch. He's chatting with a couple folks on the other side of things. We're going to keep it here in hopes that we'll catch him here shortly as he is going to make his way over to the headset to chat with us following this victory here tonight, 129-125. Bucks coming from behind. It was a game that saw 6 lead changes and 11 ties as it went back and forth. Milwaukee, though, again, makes enough plays down the stretch to win it. Middleton's playing the part of the politician. It is election day tomorrow. He's shaking hands and dapping up everybody around right now. And now he's making his way to the headset. He'll put it on. And Mr. Middleton, congratulations tonight, my man. Can you
appreciate
hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Well, I'll tell you, this is now 3 of your first 6 games you guys have played, and you've shown a number of different ways to win late. First, it was Damian Lillard finishing off those first two. Tonight, you and Giannis coming up with big plays down the stretch. Kind of felt like old times tonight with you two, huh?
Yeah, I did. We ran the clock a little bit, but that's what we expect. We got a lot of great ball players, different ways to close games. Just got trying to find a way to make it easier on ourselves, you know, down the stretch throughout the whole game. But I think we did a great job of executing, getting the shots each time down. So we'll take it.
Yeah, you guys just kind of finding your way with the new personnel, new coaches, everything that goes with it. But for you, coming off of the injury, how are you feeling these days? You look like you're getting more comfortable back-to-back nights, 21 minutes, and making plays 7 or 15 in the fourth quarter.
I feel great. You know, I'm just trying to get in shape, you know, get my rhythm back, get my legs back into it. But it's a process. I know that. It's going to take time. And, you know, I'm just trying to put the work in for it.
All right. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks. That's Chris Middleton. His team wins at 129-125 here tonight. Chris had 7 of his team's points in that fourth quarter with 15 overall, 6 of 10, and he hit a couple clutch free throws, and he makes his way to the locker room. He was the last one on the court, had to let him get out. Don't want to get in trouble with the coach. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we will put a capper on this one. Much to talk about. A four-point win for the Bucks here tonight on the opposing floor of the Brooklyn Nets. We'll come back. This is the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
If they vote not to confirm you, that means essentially you're fired. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff.
There's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. They found a way to let the bar sink a little bit lower.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Back again at Barclays Center following another thriller of a win. Back-to-back games, the Bucks have beaten these teams from the Empire State using some clutch play down the stretch to get it done. And a 129 to 125 win here tonight. A reminder, this copyright broadcast of the National Basketball Association may not be retransmitted, reproduced, rebroadcasted, or otherwise distributed or used in any form without the express written consent of the NBA. We're brought to you by BMO. They are the official bank of the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's go Bucks. By Jockey. For nearly 150 years, Jockey's been providing comfort and caring for generations of families, because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Shop Jockey.com. By Go Right Way, make us part of your next trip for stress-free service to and from the Milwaukee and Chicago airports. By Valley Sports Wisconsin, the heart to the Milwaukee Bucks fan. By Sargento Cheese, official cheese of the Bucks. By Freighter and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network. By Uline, the shipping and packaging supplying specialist. By Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. By Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Well, this one was certainly enjoyable down the stretch as Milwaukee continues to try to find themselves. Sometimes you go to old habits, and tonight that was a good thing. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 36 points, 12 rebounds, 13 of them in the fourth quarter. It was 15 points for Middleton, 7 of his in the fourth quarter in crunch time for the Bucks, who win this one to improve to 4-2 with a victory here tonight. All right, we'll come back. Justin Garcia will join us on the other side of this timeout. We've got plenty of reaction coming your way as well here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Dear basketball fans, want to drive a winner? Get in a Toyota and see how impressive they are. The RAV4 is a versatile playmaker built to get the crowd going. The Highlander is a slam dunk when it comes to space. And the Camry is a fast break of fun and reliability. Plus, these Toyotas come with available all-wheel drive, so you can drive the lane with power. Visit Toyota.com to learn more, or check out your local Toyota dealership today. Toyota, let's go places.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Just like the Milwaukee Bucks, Jockey is proud to call Wisconsin home. Always family-owned, we embrace the core values of family, community, and tradition. Our values hold us to a higher standard that goes beyond making high-quality underwear and apparel. For nearly 150 years, we've been providing comfort and caring for generations of families. Because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Jockey. Take 25% off any Jockey.com purchase with code word BUCKS. Exclusions apply.
It's the first ever NBA in-season tournament. All 30 teams going for one brand new trophy.
The stakes are the highest.
Only 8 teams advance from the group stages. Then it's down to single elimination.
It's win or go home.
The last 4 standing will battle it out in Las Vegas, baby. They're going to go all in on the hardwood for season-long bragging rights and the first ever NBA Cup. Hope everyone's feeling lucky. The NBA in-season tournament continues on ABC, ESPN, and TNT.
All right, the Bucks hang on and knock off the Brooklyn Nets on the road tonight. A monster close to this game and a big performance from Giannis once again, pouring in 36 points. And here to break down the close that we saw to this game, the man that called the action, Dave Kane. So, Dave, we've seen a couple of different ways that this team can close out. Obviously, the two instances of Damian Lillard making it Dame time. But now Giannis, and really this overall team, the way that they played in the second half, especially offensively, I thought you started to see more and more confidence from that group.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a group that when push comes to shove, look, as hard as this is at times to watch them feel out of sync and watch the defense struggle the way it does at times, and look, even the spacing on offense hasn't been anything anywhere close to where they'd like it to be. But even with all that said, I think early in a season, if you can kind of piece together a number of these types of games where you make the plays down the stretch, I do think that can start to form a culture. I know we're very early in the season. This could all change. You could have a stretch where you lose a bunch of these. But for a group that's looking to come together, I do think these types of gritty wins, closeout wins like this, are worth more than the other kinds. Like, you could win this game by 30 points. And you'd feel good. Yeah, we're playing good basketball. We had a good night. But I just don't know that those really galvanize a team maybe to the same degree that these kinds of wins do. At least that's the hope. And so we'll see if it plays out that way. But obviously, great to see them. And as I said at the end of the broadcast, the fact that you can close in a couple different ways is what has to keep opponents up at night when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Because Damian Lillard has just not had his shot. You know, look, he's had two really great closeout games for the Bucks, and he scores 21 points tonight, but, you know, 5 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3, and this is the first time he didn't hit shots late, even when he's been out tonight. He was struggling a little, or when he's been off. So tonight, you know, it wasn't his best scoring game, but other guys picked it up. And, yeah, oh, by the way, there's also this guy by the name of Chris Middleton that plays for the Bucks too, who's pretty darn good, who's starting to get his minutes up in his rhythm back.
Pretty good. The minutes are up 2 straight games now that he's around 21 minutes. We've heard Griff a couple of times already refer to Chris as the glue for this team, and I thought really his playmaking, which was most evident throughout this game, getting his teammates some open looks. A lot is going to be made of the three-point shooting. As the Bucks started 0 of 6, they finished 16 of 48, so you made 16 in your last 42. It was all the bench that poured that in. Giannis took 7 threes in the game. Dame took 8. Combined, they went 3 of 15. But I know, again, it's still a small sample. If you take opening night out of it, Giannis goes 5 of 6 at the line tonight. He's 70% shooting. And that's, to me, the magic number. If he can get to and stay consistently at 70%, that's going to be big for this team. And Dame Lillard changes that as well. But 70 is the number to shoot for.
Yeah, I would agree. And here's the other thing for Giannis as we look back at his night that was. He had – there was that stretch, too, that I think you have to look at. He was 0 of 5 when the stretch began, shooting threes. He puts up another three. We're sitting here saying, oh, no, oh, no. And then he gets it right back, and he's 0 of 6 at this point from three. And he says, you know what, I'm going to fire another one up. And he knocks it down to tie the game up on a three-pointer. I mean, he is just – you can knock him down as many times as you like. He is – going to he is a Weeble. He will continue to pop up every time, and he's going to believe in himself. You know, I mean, that's just how this guy's wired. And it sounds like Coach Griffin is talking, Justin, so I'm going to let you take it to that. But a good win for the Bucks.
Let's hear from Coach Griff.
We got stops when we need it. And then just finding the ways to win the game. That's the most important thing that we can build on. We could continue to get better. But to walk out of this building, just, you know, the flow of the game, you know, back and forth. And there's a couple times where we, you know, they had the momentum and we didn't give up and we kept fighting and clawing and got back in the game. This was NBA basketball at its finest.
We haven't seen you guys go to that switching unit a whole lot. Just what do you think of your team's ability to switch kind of everything in those final 3 minutes?
Well, it's tough because we, you know, Brooke was so great on the offensive boards and that lap down the stretch, and I was trying to keep him in the game, but at the, I thought we needed some go smaller so we could start switching. Then I put Bobby in because he played so well in that first half, and in the third quarter he was phenomenal. So I wanted to give him the first crack, and then it got to where we needed to really protect the three-point line. So end up going smaller, I should say. But again, it's a tough team to guard. You know, all their guards are fast, explosive, and they're three-point threats as well. So it presented some matchup difficulties for us, just for their size and quickness. But again, like these type of games build character, and I thought our guys stepped up big time.
In that lineup, so Giannis is your big. How important was it for him to be big late down there, not foul, to come up with the two blocks and contested shots?
Man, I mean, he's phenomenal. He's a winner. You know, those are winning plays. And when you say it's a guy a winner or not, he defines that because he's willing to do whatever it takes for us to win as a team. And this is not the first time. You know, I know it's just a small body of work with me as far as me being around this every day. I'm sure you've seen it 100 times, but I'm still in awe how he can take over a game on both sides of the ball, and I think that's what makes him great. And he's has such pride in not only the defense but just winning. You know, he doesn't want to. He's one of those guys that hates losing, and he'll do whatever it takes for the team to win, and getting those big stops and blocks and coming up with loose balls and fighting and scrapping. You know, that's what makes him such a special individual.
You know, a couple nights ago, Damian had said, you know, there's a balance for him that he's trying to find of doing the right thing in the offense versus maybe what he would have done in Portland. Because he's like, that maybe that's not sustainable at times. But do you feel he's been too passive? Like, there were a couple catch and shoot open opportunities that he passed off on. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Well, I think his intentions are great. You know, he's trying to be a great teammate. He's trying to make the right reads. But at the same time, you know, him shooting the ball is what we need. You know, he's aggressive, and he's done that at times, and I think at times you can see that he's a little hesitant, and he doesn't. You know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's almost too unselfish at times. But we just need him to be Dame. You know, just be who you are. That's good enough. That's more than enough for us. And again, I keep, you know, reminding everybody it's a small body of work. These guys haven't been together that long, and it's a long season, and they'll continue to grow. They'll continue to build that chemistry, and I think they'll have a greater feel for the expectations for each other of what they're capable of doing and what they're expected to do out there. So, no, you know, can't rush the process. And we got to continue each day finding ways to get better. Tomorrow we watch film, and we'll show them areas we got to improve, and then we'll get ready for the next game. But again, it's a gutsy win. I really want to give a shout out to our bench, which they were incredible. 50 points. Marjon, Jay, PC, Pat, Bobby was great. Bobby was great. And it was a total team effort. It's hard to come in a building on the road and walk out a win. And so I think this was a big character game.
Well, speaking of your bench, I'd love to hear about Campaign's performance from your viewpoint.
Campaign, don't let me forget him. He settled us down, gave us a little bit of poise out there. And he was great on both sides of the ball. I thought on the offensive end, he was able to get us some sets. We were able to execute, and then defensively with his effort and tenacity. And, we were able to get back in the game with him on the floor. So, that's a veteran guy for you. He hasn't played a lot of minutes, probably nowhere near the minutes he would like. But, that's the definition of a professional who can come in a game on call and perform. And that's what a professional does. They perform. And I thought he did a great job of that tonight.
The team had a season-high 48 rebounds. How did you feel about their performance protecting the glass?
It's been one of the probably the biggest emphasis on the last couple games, where our rebounding, in particular our defensive rebounding, needed to take a huge step, a huge jump in the right direction. I thought that they made it happen tonight. And, your team is going to get better on whatever you focus on. If you focus on defensive rebounding, they'll get better at defensive rebounding. If you get, you focus on pace, they'll get better at pace. So I thought they did a great job of carrying over, everything that we've been stressing the last couple of days about limiting teams to one shot. And they were huge. So, but that's tonight. And then the next game, you got to do it all over again.
Coach, over here. You mentioned Giannis being, that kind of winner, just whatever you need to do to win the game. The last 5.5 minutes, it seemed like that was a lot of heavy screening for him, for Dame, for Chris. Wondering, was that a conversation you had in a timeout, like, we got to get you on the ball screening more, or was that something that they just sort of flowed into?
Well, we have three elite guys, and I don't want to forget about Chris either. He was phenomenal. I think that was one of his best games. And I know he's on limited minutes and whatnot, but we're just such a different team when he's on the court. And you're just trying to find ways where those three guys are involved in the action. Dame, Giannis, Giannis setting on Chris. It's not rocket science. You're just trying to get the ball in in one of your three best players' hands, especially going down the stretch. And so we show flashes of what can become. And again, I keep harping on it. It's a lot of time ahead of us as far as them building that chemistry. But it's fun to see it come together.
Hey, Igor, I just want to ask you about someone from the other team, but Cam Thomas had another big night tonight for him this season. What do you think has made him so explosive as a scorer this year, and how you guys tried to approach and defend him coming in tonight?
I think, one, he has the freedom, the freedom to, and when I thought Jock is, I've been knowing Jock for a long, long time. We go way back in college when we were five-star counselors, and I used to watch Jock after hours in the gym by himself with a chair and go over his pick and rolls. I always remember that about Jock. He was just such a hard worker. But anyway, I think Jock has done a great job of just instilling a lot of confidence in them, especially Cam. And I'm listening to Jock on the sidelines just telling Cam, just catching and shoot it, catching and shoot it. And so when you have a coach like that, behind you, frees you up so you're not just, thinking, you're not worried about mistakes. And Cam is tough, man. He's proven that he's one of the best young guards coming up. And, give him credit, man. He made some tough shots, really, really tough shots.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.
Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin as they hang on and knock off the Nets tonight, 129-125 in Brooklyn. 36 points, 12 rebounds, and a pair of blocks from Giannis, including one that really went a long way in sealing this game. We will get to the rest of the numbers and your play of the game as the post-game show continues after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
You receive a diagnosis from a doctor. You feel good about proceeding. You also feel the need for a second opinion. Good for you. The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network offers and encourages second opinions on medical and procedural next steps. Second opinions can often happen virtually and give you peace of mind about all that is humanly possible. Learn more or request an appointment at frederick.com/second opinion. Offering a memory disorder program that's first of its kind in Wisconsin isn't just about innovation. It's about providing thorough diagnoses to improve treatments and help people live better. The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Neuroscience Institute is a nationally recognized leader in the diagnosis and treatment of complex brain disorders, and will do everything humanly possible to help you keep being you. To see a specialist with the expertise to help you, go to frederick.com/neuro.
This is Bucks OT.
Takes it into the paint, attacks the rack, sends it down with a grown man dunk. Oh, the Greek Freak, he's eaten now.
A final look at the game and a preview of the next matchup on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Big close to this game as the Bucks offense starts to find more and more rhythm in that second half, putting up 66 points in the final 24 minutes, and they leave Brooklyn with a 129-125 victory. Giannis, the story for the Bucks, with 36 points, 14 of 20 on his two-point attempts in this game, and 5 of 6 at the free throw line. He did take 7 threes and went 1 of 7 on threes. Now, I'm not sure what this stat actually means, but this is the 30th time that Giannis has attempted 7 or more three-pointers in a game, and the Bucks have won 22 of those 30 games. Now, the Bucks have won a lot of games since Giannis has really started to come into his own, so there is part of that, but the Bucks have seemingly found success in games where Giannis has taken a lot of three-point attempts. 36 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal for Giannis, and only 1 foul as well. Dame Lillard, 9 of 10 at the free throw line, just 5 of 15 from the field and 2 of 8 on his threes, but he dished out 7 assists, scored 21 points, and had 6 rebounds. And Chris Middleton, another game where he goes over 20 minutes, 6 of 10, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and 15 points in those 21 minutes. You heard Adrian Griffin with high praise for Chris Middleton afterwards, and especially in the first half, I think Chris Middleton's playmaking was on full display. But we're going to continue to point to Griff describing Chris as the glue for this team. He holds everything together. He makes his teammates better. And I think we've seen that more and more as Chris Middleton's minutes have started to increase here. Just 4 points from Brook Lopez, but he did have 7 rebounds. No blocked shots, though, after the 8-block performance against the New York Knicks. And Malik Beasley, just 1 of 5. From the field, all of those attempts were three-pointers. He did score 3 points and had 6 rebounds as well. The bench, we heard Griff give some high praise to that bench as well. They ended up scoring 48 points, outscoring the Nets bench 48-46, and were led by 4 players scoring in double figures. 15 points from Jay Crowder, who was 4 of 9 from three-point. He's been off to a blazing hot start this season. 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 9 on his threes, 15 points, and 5 rebounds. Bobby Portis with 11 points, finally knocked down a 3-pointer as well. Had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. 10 points from Pat Connaughton, and 11 points from Cam Payne, who you heard Griff say, can't forget to mention what he did. He really did a great job running the offense, getting guys some good looks and getting that group organized. And the minutes Cam Payne was on the floor, as Adrian Griffin was quick to point out, was when the Bucks started to make that run to come back and take the lead. 11 points, 3 assists for Cam Payne. Marjon Beauchamp scored 3 points to round out the bench scoring. As for the Nets, Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges ended up scoring 76 combined points in this game. So, two-thirds of the Brooklyn Nets' points coming from that duo. They did have four players score in double figures. The others were Lonnie Walker IV, who had 19 off the bench, and Royce O'Neal, who scored 12 points off the bench. O'Neal and Lonnie Walker combined to go 7 of 14 on their threes. But Cam Thomas, 45 points on 33 shot attempts, 6 of 16 on his three-point attempts, 3 assists as well, and Mikal Bridges goes over 30 with 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Dorian Finney-Smith had been big for the Nets of late, 7.6 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and a steal. Not the dominant performance we saw him put up over the weekend against the Chicago Bulls. And Spencer Dinwiddie and Ben Simmons rounded out the starters for the Nets. They combined for just 5 points. Simmons with 2 points, 4 assists, and 15 rebounds. And Spencer Dinwiddie, 3 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists in 24 minutes of work. Mentioned the points in the paint were advantage Bucks, 48-46. And rebounding fairly even for both of these teams, which, not surprising considering both teams shot around the same. Bucks 46 of 96, that was good for 48%. The Nets 49 of 101, that was good for 49%. And the Nets go 16 of 45 on their threes, 36% shooting. The Bucks 16 of 48 on their threes, 33% shooting. So a lot of numbers down the middle here, which would tell the story of a close game, and that's exactly what we got. But the Bucks, with a winning basketball down the stretch here, as Adrian Griffin said, tough win. These types of wins, important for a team that may have played together for a long time. Maybe not so much Dame Lillard and Malik Beasley and campaign, some of those pieces. But for a group that's starting to learn each other and learn a new system, these types of wins can go a long way in boosting that chemistry and helping this team as the season continues to progress. As a reminder, with this Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After tonight's win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's and get yourself a free small Frosty. This offer is only good for 24 hours, so you do need to act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And our assist of the game brought to you by Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin. 26 assists tonight for the Bucks. Damian Lillard led the team with 7 of those 26. That includes our assist of the game, brought to you by Freidert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Their primary care providers are available in more than 25 locations near your home or work, doing everything humanly possible to be here for you. And the Bucks did not win the opening tip tonight, but be sure to tune in at the start of each game for the Sargento tip-off for homes. Every time the Bucks do win the opening tip, Sargento, Bucks did win the opening tip tonight, I beg your pardon. So with that, Sargento will donate another $500 to Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity. Sargento, the official cheese of the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks survive and outlast the Nets in Brooklyn thanks to some late heroics from Giannis. 129-125, our final score. We're back with more wrap-up after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPTUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a teenager, learning the lingo.
Jelly, jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Home of the Bucks, WTMJ.
Justin Garcia back on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. Bucks hang on to beat the Nets tonight. 129-125. Our final score, 36 points from Giannis in a duel between he and Cam Thomas. 36 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocked shots from Giannis. While Cam Thomas led all scorers with 45, it was Giannis making the winning plays down the stretch, and that includes our play of the game, brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino.
Can the Bucks get the stop? Cam Thomas circles it down low, challenges. Giannis blocked the shot. Rebound controlled by the Greek Freak. He's been on both sides of the court, dominating here in the fourth quarter. And Milwaukee's going to have it with a foul called going the other way with 12.2 seconds to go.
Essentially sealed the game there as the Bucks already up 3. Giannis blocking Cam Thomas to help seal the win. Our play of the game brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Find your win at the Midwest premier gaming, entertainment, and hotel destination. All of that and more waiting for you at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. When we come back, we'll get you caught up on the NBA scoreboard and preview Wednesday night as the Bucks return home to take on the Detroit Pistons. All of that after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Wrapping things up here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network, I'm Justin Garcia. Bucks hang on to beat the Nets in Brooklyn 129-125. They return home for one game this week. That'll be Wednesday against the Detroit Pistons. We'll preview that momentarily, but we do need to get to an extensive NBA scoreboard tonight. 12 games being played across the association and a lot of early tips. So we have seen all but two go final. One just moved to overtime. Beginning with the final scores, the Golden State Warriors come back, a big fourth quarter comeback in this one as they take down the Bucks' next opponent, the Detroit Pistons, 120-109 on the road behind 34 points from Steph Curry. Killian Hayes scored 21 in the loss for the now 2-6 Pistons. Warriors are 6-2, by the way, and 5-1 on the road. Remember how long it took them to get that fifth road win a season ago. In Indianapolis, the Pacers take down the San Antonio Spurs, 152-111. Tyrese Halliburton with 23 points in the 41-point win. We have seen a lot of blowouts already on this young season. In Orlando, the Mavericks come back. They take down the Magic, 117-102. Dallas is 6-1 to start the season. Luka Doncic scored 29 in the win. Magic, by the way, are 4-3. In Philadelphia, Joel Embiid scored 48 points all through three quarters. Did not play in the fourth and did not miss a shot in the third quarter, where he scored 29 of those 48 points. The 76ers beat up on the Wizards, 146-128. Philly is 5-1 to start the season. In Miami, the Heat outlast the Lakers, 108-107 in the LeBron James Bowl. Bam Adebayo with a triple-double and maybe the stat line thus far of the season. 22 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Heat big man. Austin Reeves had a near triple-double for the Lakers with 23 points, 10 boards, and 9 assists. Both those teams, the Heat and Lakers, now 3-4 on the season. Elsewhere in New York, the Knicks get to 3-4 behind a big game from Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett. He scored 26 points. Knicks beat the Clippers 111-97, spoiling James Harden's Clippers debut. Harden, by the way, scored 17 and dished out 6 assists. In Chicago, another blowout as the Bulls get to 3-5. They beat the Jazz 130-113. DeMar DeRozan scored 21 in the win, while Lauri Markkanen put up 29 in a loss. One more blowout, this one in Houston, where the Rockets take care of the Kings, 122-297. Alperen Şengün, 17 points and 12 assists for the Rockets. Big man also had 8 rebounds. And the Thunder improved to 4-3. They take down the Hawks, 126-117. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 30 points, 8 boards, and 6 assists in the OKC win. That game that I mentioned in overtime is between the top-ranked offense and the top-ranked defense. The Celtics are looking to remain perfect. They're in overtime right now with the Timberwolves. The score is tied at 103, just 1 minute into overtime. Boston is 5-0 to start the season with the top-ranked offense, while the Timberwolves have the top-ranked defense. And your final game of the night, actually inverse there. Celtics with the top-ranked defense, Timberwolves offense. Your final game of the night, the Nuggets and the Pelicans late in the third quarter there. Nuggets lead 90-83. Nikola Jokic already has a triple-double and the third quarter isn't over. 29 points, 13 boards, and 10 assists. Those are all 12 of your games on tonight's NBA scoreboard. Your all-too-early look at the standings reveals the Bucks in third place in the East behind the 5-0 Celtics and the 5-1 76ers. So look, if Boston loses, you will have the Celtics and Sixers atop the East at 5-1 and the Bucks 4-2. I know it's just six games, but for all of the changes and all of the up-and-down play we've seen just six games into the season, Bucks are potentially just one game out of the top spot in the Eastern Conference, despite all of that. For those of you in Milwaukee, our extended postgame show continues momentarily here, and we invite you to stick around to the flagship station, WTMJ, and join us for Bucks Talk. We will take your calls, your texts, take a closer look at Wednesday's matchup with the Pistons, and your thoughts on this performance we saw tonight from Giannis and the rest of the team knocking off the Nets in Brooklyn. Bucks Talk coming up as soon as we wrap up here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. And again, you can find that on our flagship station, WTMJ. Next game broadcast is Wednesday night as the Bucks do return to Fiserv Forum. They host the Detroit Pistons. Pistons right now locked in at 2-6. That's the second worst record in the Eastern Conference, in all of basketball, for that matter. But it's the Bucks and the Pistons Wednesday night. It is a 7 o'clock tip-off. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these airwaves. For Dave Kane on the scene in Brooklyn and our studio crew, our engineer Jason Gordon and our producer Tommy Wirtz, I'm Justin Garcia signing off, reminding you we will talk once again Wednesday night with more Bucks basketball right back here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Supporting Trump, let's not put them in the radical extremist category.
No, that's a good point.
So this is a warning to the Biden campaign that they are not getting a message somehow. It is short-circuiting between the White House and the public.
And what do you think has caused that? What do you think has brought that on? You know, is it a policy thing? You know, I had someone earlier point out the fact that the child tax credit went away is maybe a reason why a lot of working class voters are struggling so much and down on the economy, which, again, Republicans are the ones who fought against. But, you know, does that play into it? You know, what do you see as the, or is it just, hey, you know, things haven't gotten much better under Biden that they can see, and they're pining for the good old days? Any thoughts?
Well, technically, things, you know, Biden inherited certain things that were a detriment, and technically some things have gotten better. That message hasn't gotten through. People have this kind of underlying, you know, fear. I think it's a post-COVID deal, personally. That's where I think some of this, you know, comes from. But on top of it, I believe that the Biden campaign has made, in the Biden White House, they're intermixed, you know how it runs. But, Rick, I think they've made the mistake that Biden warned Obama about when he was vice president. Biden was smart. He went to Obama and said, you did an issue, and you just said, oh, here it is. Look how great. And then you moved on without cementing the issue. And so I think the White House, in what it's done, has just moved on, you know, too quickly and not gotten that issue out there. I'll give you a perfect example. Now, some listeners may not like this example, but I'll give you one. The border has issues. I mean, it simply does. It has issues of people coming across, et cetera. And I know some people within the progressive side are not particularly happy with Biden, but how many people, that not radical, but how many people in the middle are like, hey, I'm kind of worried about border security. How many people know that Biden's actually done something about it? I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
I don't think they have any concept that he's done anything about it.
Especially because you hear Republicans constantly hammering on that he's done nothing.
That he's opened the borders, blah, 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 on and on and on. When in reality, Biden, at the point where he's had, you know, some of the progressives angry at him, Biden has done some things to fortify the border. He recently stop the ability, you know, if you're not coming in with a family, to just come in and say, oh, I'm here. You know, he changed some of that criteria. So he's done some things. He's talked about refortifying some of the spots where people can get through. I don't want to get into the wall thing, you know,
right. But
he's done that. And there's zero knowledge or credit for that. I mean, that's just one thing that I can, you know, I can point out. I guess the second thing is, I ask myself, I sit here, and, you know, I'm a news junkie like you, et cetera, but I'm sitting here thinking, okay, where's he at on student loans right now? What's happened with that? Did he do something, or did, you know, it's not ingrained out there, you know, enough.
And I would argue, you know, the reality is that the right has built a massive media machine. Be it, you know, talk radio, where they're completely dominant, cable news, where they dominate, Online, they have an enormous presence. It's a much better digital strategy and much better digital plan that the Democrats have. They have messaging down. Whereas, as I keep saying about Biden, he's just a guy who gets up every day and does the work. And you know, like my friends in the labor movement, they don't take credit for anything. They don't toot their own horn. They don't do any of that stuff. And maybe they should spend a little time saying, "Hey, look at the great stuff we're doing."
Yeah, that goes back to what I just said about Biden when he warned Obama, move on too fast. You're not letting this sink in. Well, now I think he needs to heed, his own words, and they need to get out there. The other thing is, look, people will consider MAGA, as way out there, or all the MAGA people are way out there, or some of them are, or whatever. I think that in itself is a theme that's out there, and people made decisions. I think the campaign needs to not ride that theme that the answer to everything is, Trump's out there. We know he's out there.
That's why his base loves him.
Yeah, he's out there. And so them saying the camp, which they answer to the polling, it's a radical, people are going to see this. Well, I still say bring it back to the issues. Bring it straight home to the issues. And Biden, at this point in time, I would put the squeeze on the oil companies. I would do that. How about the pharmaceutical ideas that he had? And the Medicare. What about all of that?
Yeah.
So, I'm saying he's got to energize tooting his own horn. But you are completely right. The right has dominated the airwaves.
We're a top one, a Talkers 100 top program.
Right.
We're closing down on December 1st.
Yeah.
Because, look, there are no resources to make this, and there aren't enough platforms for us to continue on. We've grown to the limits that there is possible on this side of the aisle. And that's a sad testament to the fact that they've built no infrastructure for this for their messaging. I mean, it's not like I'm a paid DNC guy, but I like a lot of the policies that Biden has moved forward on. I like the investments that we're making in the future of this country. I love the fact that his labor secretary is doing some really great work. I love the fact that his NLRB is doing incredible stuff. That is all stuff that no working person really knows is going on, and they should be hammering on this. They should be every day talking about it. But
right,
sadly,
it goes to my point. Because you've been a voice of working people, and it's the perfect issue, because you know what? It's a true issue. And how did Trump capture the votes against Hillary? I know. Trade, working people. You'd have thought he was a labor leader when he was running, right?
And he showed
out
up
there. Yeah, and so that's what needs to happen on the radio waves, which you do perfectly, and that type of investment needs to happen, and that people spend money on all kinds of other foolish things. So I don't get it, but that's where he has to hammer home for working people what working people care about.
Yep.
And of course, this all gets so off track on so many other things, and right now, of course, Israel and Palestinians is the, dominant
thing.
That's
tearing
theme.
Us apart.
And it is. And then the other thing, too, is, okay, you got the speaker and he's way out there and I understand all that. But what about, the White House can recognize, hey, he's out there, but here's what we want to do. And they need to get Democrats in the House to sponsor their initiatives. And if the initiatives don't get a vote, you keep hammering it that you want to vote. And you bring it up. You bring it up in 1 minute on the floor. You make motions. You do that. You force the Republicans to turn down something that working people say, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But you got to get it out there.
You got to do the work. That's, sure. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
Real quick, Ohio, how are things going to go on Election Day?
Well, I'm going to go, issue one wins. It does a yes. I'm still, like I said the other night, it's Ohio. I don't know. It's been so non-existent on issue two. I think maybe issue two doesn't make it. I could be wrong.
Okay, so, So abortion is going to be safe and legal in Ohio after this.
Yes.
It'll be a constitutional amendment on issue one, but no legal pot. Is that where you're going?
That's what I'm thinking, only because nobody has breathed a word on issue two. So everybody, you know, issue one, you're going, oh, okay, I read that, I'm going to vote yes on issue one. Issue two, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that one. Boom.
Will the stoners get out to vote?
They might forget. It's election day, you know? You never know.
Well, you forgot Wednesday's debate night, so it's possible.
Yeah, I did. I sure did.
But, well, Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Nay. Let's take a quick break right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people from the top. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1860. That was the day that Abraham Lincoln was elected 16th President of the United States. When Lincoln came to office, the nation was deeply divided on the question of slavery. By December 20th, South Carolina had seceded from the United States. Less than a month later, Confederate soldiers fired on Fort Sumter in South Carolina. With those shots, it became clear the issue of slavery would be settled by a civil war. The first year of the war was not going well for the Union. In December 1861, President Lincoln sat down to pen his annual message to Congress. In 1934, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt renamed that annual message the State of the Union. The speech still goes by that name today. By all accounts, the State of the Union was very grim in 1861. 11 states had seceded and were at war with the Union. Lincoln's long message to Congress included a summary of the war as well as foreign relations. But it ended with Lincoln's thoughts about the nature of work and labor in the United States. It included some of the most famous words ever uttered by a sitting president about labor. Lincoln wrote, "Labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is only the fruit of labor and could have never existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is superior of capital and deserves much the higher consideration." Lincoln ended his address by noting that the war that embroiled the nation would have a profound impact not just on the current generation fighting. He wrote that the conflict would shape the vast future of the nation. Lincoln was felled by an assassin's bullet. He did not live to see that vast future after the Civil War. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com. Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I look at Election Day, Tuesday. Hope folks were going to get out and vote. I'm looking forward to being able to do that. Election Day, I love Election Day. It's one of those things that, you know, when our kids were really small, we would drag them along. So they saw, you know, participation, being part of you know, the process of self-governance, important stuff. And I would hate losing that. And I know a lot of people have said, hey, you know, if Trump becomes president again, last ever election, I don't know. I think they'll still have them. They'll just be shams. But a couple of things that I'm going to be paying attention to on Election Day. The Virginia legislature, for instance, is a big one. Youngkin got kind of a push because of the crazy Moms for Liberty types. They weren't then yet, but in the anti-education money that came in that proposed, and look, Terry McAuliffe was a terrible candidate and basically, you know, blew it with that, you know, parents don't have a right to nonsense. Be interesting to see where Virginia voters go in deciding their legislature. Ohio, obviously, the country is going to be looking to Ohio to see which way they go on the abortion issue. Personally, I would have preferred this to happen next year as something to get people out. But we'll see. We'll see how many people show up. Typically, in these off-year elections, Democrats don't come out in big numbers, and which is the reason that Republicans moved on this in the state to do it now, because they thought, hey, you know, we can sneak this one by them. We'll throw the old fastball by them while they're not even looking. So we'll see if it does draw people out, and we'll see where if legal pot is something that happens in Ohio as well, which would be kind of weird. Also going to be checking out the gubernatorial races in Kentucky and Mississippi. A possibility of two very, very red states having Democratic governors. That's going to be.
You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.